Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello and welcome to episode 605 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm Nick Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Rockarts.
Hey, how's it going?
And Colton Sweat.
Happy Tuesday, Nick.
Happy Tuesday. We made it. Hey, on this episode, we've got a new patron, a little bit of LeagueCast news. I know we'll hear from Aiden regarding a little certain something there. We've got a new patch 1318 that we'll talk about. And then we'll probably just jump straight into... maybe a little competitive league discussion, and then roundtable and mail fight. But Aiden, how was your week?
My week was good. I played some league. I played like a bunch the first 2 days, and I haven't played league in 5 days since.
Ooh.
But I don't know. I've been when league's good is real good, and then I've been wanting to play Starfield so much that I was trying to hit fucking diamond on my mid account, and I just couldn't do it, man. I got to Emerald 150 50 points, and then I went on a bender. So
I saw that you played 20 games in a very short amount of time for you,
because I won 13 in a row to get to Emerald 2, and then I was 60% win rate up to Emerald 1, and then it was just I would get on and I would be at 20 points Emerald 1, and I would lose down to zero, lose, demote, win, promote, win a game, and then I'd be like, okay, I'll see you again tomorrow game, and then I'd do the exact same
thing. That's what I've been doing for 200 games, man. I hit my peak rank 50 games in, and I'm now 300 games in.
But either way, it was just I really want to play Starfield, so I'll try to grind this out, and then I just had a chain of games where it was... I didn't get Q-sniped, but we had someone that we know also on a Smurf on the enemy team, so they camped my leg.
Oh yeah, I hate when that happens.
It was literally they went blue, mid, jungle invade, which I stopped, and then they went top, mid invade.
And you were playing a Fiddlesticks game, right?
Mid fiddle, yeah. So I'm very easy to gank. Yeah. But anyways, whatever. That's not a big deal. Puts me down to it put me down to 6 points or something like that. I might have demoted off that, actually. Either way, I lost that game, and then I queue up for another one, and my AD carry and champions goes, please let me farm. We will win if you guys let me farm. Please don't fight. And we're like, whatever. This guy's a crazy person. It's fine. Get into the game. They died both die level 2 bottom or whatever. So then she just came mid and ruined the game by just, she just came mid and farmed. Right. I'm like, okay, that sucks. Whatever. 15 minute game. Not a big deal. And then we queue up again, and I get the exact same AD carry and the exact same support. So our AD carry is mad at both me and the support, so she just goes mid instead of going bottom. So me and the support played duo mage bottom. I played Cho'Gath, she played Lux. We lost, obviously, because the AD carry didn't want us to win. And I'm like, okay, that's fine, whatever. And then I queue up for another game, and I get my first real game of the day, and I play like shit. And I'm like, oh, this is so sad. It's it feels like I've spent 2 hours of my day, and I've played one game and I played bad.
It was so funny because the other part was that after that second game with that person, you added him and were trying to understand right as you went into your first real game, and I think that might have been part of why you played so bad, is because you were so focused on discovering what was wrong with this person, who I think wasn't that person D2 like a day ago.
Oh yeah, they were D2 yeah, like a day
ago. They had just lost like 400 LP. Like they like gained 300 LP in a day to hit D2 and then like lost it all 4 days later, but had historically always been like a platinum account. And then they were talking about being GM, but it's like, but what about the last 3 years that you've, no, they were gold. The last 3 years of their account were gold and there was no history before that.
I'm never mean to people when I add them. I was like, I'm just like, I try to understand them. Right. And I was like asking them and they're like, well, you ruined my game. And I'm like, oh, I don't know, understand how I ruined your game. And they're like, bottom lane was lost. So I went mid and because you didn't go bottom, we lost the game. I'm like, what the fuck, dude?
That's the standard move, dude. In LCS, when bot lane fights a 2v2 and the AD carry dies, they just go mid and the mid laner goes bot for the rest of the game.
I think I've seen that before.
And then every time. Anyways, like, I'm like, whatever. Like, I take a break. I'm like, I play a little Starfield. I'm like, you know what? I'll give it one more shot. I'll give it one more college try, right? I'm like, I'm one game away from getting back to Emerald 1. Queue up. I'm like two games away from getting Emerald 1. I queue up. I get top lane again. I'm like, fuck, man. Like, at this point, it's like, I don't have that many off-roll games. I have, like, maybe, like, 10% of my games are off-roll games. But, like, I play Tahm Kench when I, like, get off-roll. I'm not going to purposely lose a game. So I play Tahm Kench, and I win. I'm like, cool, whatever. It's, like, kind of lame, but I'd rather be playing mid. And then I queue up again, I get top again. And, like, I play Tahm Kench. It's like, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm playing top lane.
Top challenge.
So I played six games that day, and one of them was a quality game, like a quality mid game, and I played like shit and lost. I'm like, man, this is a bad use of my time. So I've been playing Starfield, and I've played like 15 hours of Starfield.
Nice. How do you feel about it so far?
It is probably one of the most Bethesda games I've ever played.
really?
I think if you're going into it expecting a Bethesda game and you wanted a space game, it's great. I've loved all 15 hours of it. If I paid money for it and didn't know it was made by Bethesda, I'd probably be disappointed, if that makes sense.
I think so. I mean, you kind of expect that with, like, Fallout and
Elder Scrolls. Yeah, it's weird, because I've seen this discussion of, like, well, your justification is it's Bethesda, so it's whatever, it's going to be janky. It's like, and they're like, well, that doesn't, like, that you can't excuse it because it's a Bethesda game. But I think you kind of can, because that sets your expectations going into it, right?
Like, yeah, there's a certain, like, acceptable level of jank. Right.
Yeah.
With Bethesda, it's not like it's not like a bad.
I mean, the reality is they should make better games. Like their games are like the fact that like this is probably the game in the last 5 years that I've played that has the most loading screens. Right. Like every day, like you go anywhere and it's a loading screen. That being said, like I went into it knowing what it was, and I'm pretty happy with it. I also didn't pay money for it. I paid like $20 for Games Pass or whatever. Nice. So maybe that also changes my mind a little bit. Maybe if I paid 80 Canadian dollars for it, I'd be disappointed.
True.
But I've been enjoying it a lot. So.
Hell yeah. Good. Good for you.
Yeah. What about your week, Colton?
Yeah. So I have not been playing a ton of League. I'm taking a little break from my mid account and did play a few on my main. God, it feels good to be playing one just a role you're like more comfortable on. But like after playing so many games of mid, playing jungle just feels so much better because I feel like I can actually do things. It's super nice being able to like have a plan and execute it and like get lanes ahead. And like obviously if I played 300 more games of jungle, I'd be complaining about how like I can't play jungle because my mid laner won't rotate, just like how I can't play mid lane because my jungler won't respond to mid state. Like in those first few games, it's just been really nice like being able to do stuff, and like particularly when like you have a really good game as jungle where it's like, yeah, I got top and mid ahead and bot lane was even, and then we did a dragon fight and we won that, so now I got all three lanes ahead and we have a dragon. Like, man, roll's OP. I should always play jungle.
Hell yeah.
But mostly still been playing Baldur's Gate. I've been playing with some friends as well as on my solo save. I'm into Act 3, which is the city of Baldur's Gate, which has just so fucking much going on, so many people to interact with, lots of like little side quests you can do. Also, it's been a real strain on my computer, as there are like a lot more bigger complicated buildings to like render, as well as just like way more NPCs like running around doing stuff. But
and you're running it on a 980, you said?
Yeah.
So it's quite old.
Yeah. I think I'm running on like medium low settings. Like I probably should look at that again, because I don't really care that much how nice things look. Like, as long as it's not completely unrecognizable, like I don't really care if the like effects on a spell is at high versus low. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna cast my firebolt, it's fine. But yeah, that's about it for me and my week, or at least things I can think of. So I'll hand it over to you, Nick. What you been up to?
I think I played one one game of League this week. I am up to 15 games on my Smurf, guys, so that's pretty exciting. Played an Akshon game, absolutely popped off, of course. And then I guess we played a couple ARAMs, right, this week. So not too much other than that. I have decided that I finished Hollow Knight. I did not end up beating Grimm or trying like too hard to do it. I gave it a couple more tries and then kind of moved on. But I mean, I think the game was like pretty good overall. It definitely, I don't think it's the game for me, like you were saying, Aiden. If I were to give it a number, it'd probably be like an 8 out of 10. But there are just like, there are just like little things that I think like I personally, like one of the things that I found like a little frustrating was that you don't spawn with full soul, right?
Which
like is definitely a design choice, and that's like totally okay. But it just makes like, okay, now I gotta, you know, grind for, I gotta get a couple hits in before I go to the boss fight, which is like a couple screens away. So, but it was a good game. I'd probably play it again at some point. So on to Bloodborne, which is very similar, but I've been enjoying a lot so far. I think the world is like super cool, the environment that the game is in. But I went into it pretty blind. This is actually probably the FromSoft game I know the least about, I guess, excluding Armored Core, which just came out like pretty recently. So we'll see how that goes. I have beat Cleric Beast and Father Gascoigne. Is that how you pronounce it?
G.
Father, G. Yeah, Father G. And like we were saying, like what we were talking about earlier, I have no idea how the counter / parry timing works, but it seems very, very OP in this game. So we'll see.
Have you do you like the I forget what the system is actually called, but like where you get HP back when you like you get hit?
Yeah,
hit. Yeah, that's it's so
yeah,
sick.
Yeah. It rewards you like being super aggressive, and it doesn't feel so bad to trade like hits with, especially with bosses where it seems like they like stagger a little bit at least. Maybe Father G in his like regular human form was a little like more normalized than like Cleric Beast or his beast form. But it seemed like I picked the Hunter Axe because it had the biggest number, but I mean, it seemed to be staggering him pretty hard. So we'll see. It's a FromSoft game. So my girlfriend was watching me and she said, "You've already played this game." And I was like, that was Elden Ring. Like, but yeah, I have. So we'll see. I'm having like, I mentioned it earlier, but a little bit of the like frame issues where it runs like at a solid 30 and then sometimes it dips like a tiny bit.
Dude, the fact that it only runs at 30 is also so gross, man. Like, so like when it does dip, it's dipping to like 22 probably.
I know. Yeah. But that seems to be like a pretty normal thing for, I guess, the PlayStation 5 version, or it on the PlayStation 5. I don't know. It's a good thing it's a Sony exclusive, so I could never play it on PC at 60 frames, you know, a stable 60 frames the whole time.
Is this the only Soulsborne game that you haven't played? I guess you haven't played Demon Souls either, right?
No, I haven't played Demon, but I have it. You know, I claimed at the very least, so it's coming up. I know a little bit more about that one, but still not like a ton. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. It'll be fun. I guess on to the show. We've got one new patron. Shout out to Cryo Phoenix. Thank you for your support and welcome. Aiden, what about our League Cast news? You have something to tell us about, huh?
So I've been in meetings all week. So I've had very little time usually. I think about a lot of League Cast stuff during the day usually. And I had like 30 minutes between two meetings today. And I was like, I want to do something.
Ooh, okay.
So I quickly pulled up all my like League Cast shit. I'm like, what can I do? What can I like put through together? And what I've come to realize that in the last couple of years of League Cast, the thing that I've enjoyed doing the most out of anything was probably the trivia night.
Yeah, that was sick.
I think it was a very fun thing where we got a lot of people online who all got to participate and have a bunch of fun. And I kind of want to do it again. I'm going to do it differently, I'm pretty sure. I haven't fully figured out all the what's going to happen, how is it going to run, is it going to be like the same like Survivor thing. I don't think it will be the Survivor thing, like where like if you're out, you're out sort of thing. I think it'll just be like a point system. But we'll see. We'll decide on all that later. But the funny catch, gimmick part of it is that there's going to be 165 questions.
Oh my God.
165 questions, why you may ask? Because there's going to be one question for every single League of Legends character.
Ooh, okay.
So every question is going to be tied to a character, whether it's going to be lore, gameplay, numbers, history in their development, whatever. I don't know. And the reason why I don't know is because I'm getting you guys to do all the work. I've created a form on our Discord. It's in our announcements tab where you can submit trivia questions. So the way that you submit them is you open up the form, you click on the character that you want to submit trivia for. So in theory, the way I at least have it working in my head is that you have a character that you really like, or you have a character that you know like a cool trivia thing for. So you click on that character, and then you submit your trivia fact. You link an article that kind of somewhat proves that you're like that it's real. Like if it's going to be a lore thing, I don't just know it off the top of my head, or like compared to like a number thing that like I can just look up, just so I don't have to go digging. And then you submit it, and I will probably, I'll take at least one of them from everyone. It's just that if someone submits a better one for your character, I'm going to select that one. So if you're more than welcome to submit multiple for multiple characters. I'm eventually going to go through all these. This won't be a thing for like, I would assume it's going to be like more like a November thing, unless it's late October, but we'll see. It's going to be somewhere in that timeline. Please submit trivia questions. I need help. In the next couple of weeks, I'll probably be like, hey, does anyone have any cool trivia for these characters?
All the unloved ones.
All the unloved ones. And then, yeah, it's going to be fun. And then we'll do a big trivia night where everyone gets on. We might do a couple rounds, like maybe like 50 question round. We'll do like 350 question rounds or something like that where we can do prizes and fun stuff. So,
hell yeah. That sounds awesome.
But anyways, yeah, go to our Discord, go to our announcements tab, submit trivia questions.
Cool. Sweet. I guess we'll start with the new news, huh?
Yeah, the one little bit of new news.
Yeah. It's a pretty small patch, so we'll go through it, I imagine, fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
First up is Briar. Hey, she's coming out. She'll be released on September 13th. So, Thursday? Wednesday? Wednesday.
Isn't it crazy how quickly these two characters have been released? Are these the only two characters this year as well? Lol, champs. Or was Milia this year as well?
Milia was this year.
Is Briar going to be enabled for Worlds?
No.
No. Okay.
Yeah, I can't imagine that Briar will be enabled.
Nefiri is, even though they've changed all their rules, because in theory Nefiri shouldn't as well, but they decided that, hey, we should have this character that's been in the game for 3 months.
Didn't do that with Yone, huh?
Or
Lilia.
It is funny, though, because there's 4 months between Cassante and Milio, and then 4 months between Milio and Nefiri, and then it's going to be like a month and a half between Nefiri and Briar.
That is interesting. I guess they were like pretty quick. I forgot about Nefiri.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I think it's very POG. We probably won't have another character for the rest of the year. So
yeah.
Hopefully Briar's fun.
Yeah. Hopefully Briar's good.
And balanced.
Speaking of balance, let's talk about patch notes. Bard, nice. His maximum chime stacks is going from 5 up to 10. The duration of the chime stacks is going from 7 seconds to 20 seconds. And his W is getting adjusted. The cooldown is higher, but it takes less time to charge up to its full capacity. The movement speed is getting lowered, but it does scale up per level and now has an AP scaling.
Yeah, these are just insane buffs. They call them quality of life changes. These are big buffs.
I don't understand, like, so I think W getting buffed is fine. I think the ability is like pretty weak. You have to, you know, wait 10 seconds for it to fully charge, and then it feels really good, I think, is when it, you know, when it's primed up that long. But the passive changes, like, actually just don't make any sense to me. The maximum stacks going up to 10, like, that's definitely interesting, because, like, who knows when you're going to get that. If it requires, like, 100, you know, stacks, it's not going to be so bad. But the movement speed?
Chime stacks, not meeps, right? So this is the movement
speed where you run around right. The map. This is the movement. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just if you run around to collect, like, tons of chimes, you're just way faster. You have more time in between chimes.
Yep.
And can stack them, like, infinitely.
Yeah, this is, like, I don't know. This might be, like, one of the most head-scratching changes that they've ever made for a character, because I honestly don't know how this is balanced. It's stacking up to 20, okay, what, or to 10 from 5, okay, whatever, really nice. But a 20-second, like, pretty fat move speed buff is nuts. I mean, if you grab, I think, even just, like, one of these from, like, bot lane to mid lane, like, you're gonna have the move speed buff the entire time.
I heard Freak talk about this a little bit in his, like, preview of all the changes, and from at least what I remember, he was talking about a lot of them being, like, these are low ELO skew changes, in the fact that Bard's pretty good at higher ELO, and these changes, in theory, will benefit lower ELO players more because you have more time to run around to get the chimes. Lower ELO players will put down the, like, cups of hot cocoa or whatever and let them fully charge, so having them charge quicker will be, like, a benefit to lower ELO, whereas people at higher ELO will pretty well always use them, like, just directly on their ally for, like, the movement speed buff, which is getting nerfed early. So it's, like, stuff like that, right? Like, the idea is that all these changes based on current gameplay patterns will benefit lower ELO more than higher ELO. That being said, I think it's a buff for both, like.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see how it is, like, acceptable within the, like, current state of Bard, right? Like, where at least for support, you do tend to make a lot of, like, roams, and this is such a it just seems like a lot for something being classified as a quality of life buff.
Yeah, so. I think that 20 seconds is wild for, like,
I think that's the only part that, like, seems absolutely insane. 20 seconds is a long time in League of Legends, and that is not a small move speed buff.
It makes me think that, like, and I don't know what the percentage is right now of bards that go, like, mobies for the roaming, but it makes it seem to me like that's probably not necessary, because you're always going to have your chimes movement speed. And depending on, like, how many you got a chance to run through, you're going to be super fast.
Do you guys want to take it? So it's a stacking move speed buff, right? And it is the same amount at each rank, at least currently.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys want to take a guess at the percent bonus move speed? What number chime. That is? Yeah, that he gets per 7% chime that he picks
per
up.
Chime.
Aiden?
3% per chime.
Oh, is Aiden here? Hello?
I think Aiden might have a dog bark.
I muted myself, like, on here instead. Oh, I said 3%, okay. Though.
It's a 24% bonus move speed out of combat.
Per chime?
Per chime. Stacking up to 5 times.
Holy shit.
I'm sorry. It's 24% base, 14% after that, up to a total of 80% before the changes. So that's another 5 times 14. Whoops.
It's another 70.
Yeah, movement speed is pretty hard cap though. So just like as like
yeah.
Just to like talk about like movement speed. I think after 400 gets reduced by 50%. Movement speed after 450 gets reduced by like 75%. I think it's something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just mean like for
he's
comparison,
gonna be running around at the speed of Ram is.
For comparison, Ghost at the start or at level 18 is a 48% move speed like buff. Like it's just a lot of movement speed on a character that utilizes it. I think like really really well.
Yeah, dude, he's gonna be dooting around so fast.
It's pretty insane.
Anyway, that's Bard. Those are the quality of life changes, not just a big buff.
Not buffs.
You want to tell us about Gwen?
I sure do.
Oh.
I do.
Oh, yeah. It's your turn to tell us.
Health growth increased. Passive damage to minions increased. They're trying to make her better in jungle.
Whoa. I hate jungle Gwen, so I hope this doesn't work.
Gwungle, as they call her.
Gwungle, yeah. What's better, Blungle or Jingle? Like,
Jingle's
as a name.
Better.
You think Jingle's better as a name?
Gwungle's better than both, though.
No, it's not.
Jingle's better.
Okay. Aurelia, ultimate cooldown decreased.
People are losing their minds about this change. Can we just...
I think Aurelia is such a, like, polarizing character because she does have, like, one of the most oppressive, like, laning phases in the game, right? Like, we can all agree. It doesn't really matter. Like, she probably has some bad matchups. I imagine she doesn't do, like, super great into, like, Poppy or characters that can also fight her early. But if you're like just a regular mage or someone who needs to scale to like, hey, I'm gonna fight after level 3, Aurelia just kind of dicks on you. So like any buffs, I imagine will receive some pushback. But this just seems like such a nothing.
It's
like
a nothing
buff overall.
It's just, like, I do agree. Like there's times where like I see an Irelia and she gets fed in lane, she goes Bork into like full tank and then still does a billion damage and is impossible to kill. But like on the other side, you watch like any like Korean/Chinese super server Irelia and like, dude, they're working so fucking hard on their character. They're clicking more buttons than like most people, like their entire like team in like gold silver lobbies and it,
for the entire game. Yeah. And they're just like, doing it in the first 5 minutes.
She's just like putting in more work than like five players combined, right? It's just like if that's what the character requires to like pilot at that level, then like is she really ever that OP, man?
and then the worst part is like I swear I've never seen a character more fed, like, on average, but also lose more games, like, from that position, you know?
Yeah, as much as she's gross, she, like, still, like, unless she builds the full tank thing, which I did see last week, like, she still, like, has to play perfectly every fight. Like, I was talking about fucking Ezreal. Okay, we did OP.GG reviews, like, a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. And I've been telling people just stop fucking playing Ezreal. Like the reality is like no one is good enough to play Ezreal because like Ezreal's a hard character. Ezreal's pretty simplistic like overall, but you have to play him at such a high level the entire game, right? If you play one fight off, you lose like 80% of your damage. Like just by playing like misplaying shit.
I think one of the comparisons, like a good comparison is something that's I think even like easier right now or previously before she got changed, but like compare playing Ezreal to playing like AP Kai'Sa, right? Where you like press, you auto attack and then press Q and the wave's gone and then you just look for like W poke, versus Ezreal where like you have to stay within 20 like 1200 range of someone at all times to put out damage output. Like if you miss your ability at any point, like the fight's just over for you because your cooldowns are offset.
You have to understand like, their cooldowns because you have to use aggressive ease. Like it's super important to use aggressive ease in that character, like late game. Mm-hmm. Like,
but you also can only use aggressive ease if you're landing all your Qs, because then you have to get it back up.
Yep. And if you ever misplay with your E, you just die instantly.
I feel like he is in a lot of ways like similar to Aurelia in that way, where it's like to be effective on Ezreal, you have to be doing so much more than you do on a lot of other characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to be doing a lot versus there's characters where it's like you can just pick like Ashe and not really have to try that hard and still be really effective. And like totally separately bringing in like the main character fucking syndrome of all the League players, but like AD carries in particular who want to always be doing all that, like the role is so much easier if you don't force yourself to be doing that and like try and be the 20-1 AD carry every single game playing like insane. Like, I don't know. I had a lot of success playing AD carry, not particularly well because I didn't force that stuff. I let myself go down 10 CS and then just like played for the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like that is very rare amongst AD carry players. That's also why you can get away with like stupid 60% win rates just playing like Ziggs and clearing waves. It's because mm-hmm. the other AD carry is going to do tons of insane shit because they're upset that you're just trading waves with them. And then they're going to die and you get free dragon, and they're going to die and you get free tower. And then, oh, look, you win the game.
Yeah, you're just content to handshake the wave until you both scale. But at that point, like, it's just way easier to play a mage than it is to play an AD carry, like to the level that you probably need it to be at.
Yep. Up next, Jarvan. The physical damage on basic attacks from his passive. I thought they already did this. But it's going down from 8% of current health to 6% of current health.
That you saw it on the PvE because people are like laughing mm-hmm. at the fact that like, oh, this is enough to remove Jarvan from the best jungler in game.
It is interesting because like, what do you do otherwise? Like probably what, like nerf his Q damage? At least
actually, maybe this is a really good change, like, by the way.
I do too, because like, he procs it on every single camp, every single time. Yeah. Like it affects his skirmishing is clear.
It's not so much, yeah, the damage to, like, people. It's more, like, it will affect his clear speed. That's what most people mm-hmm. have, like, mentioned.
Yeah, I think the other thing you could potentially look at, and I don't know this for sure, but I imagine that the way he interacts with Shojin is that his Q is not considered hard CC.
Yeah, they're not, because you can EQ out of, like, CC, like, while you're CC'd, because neither of them are a movement ability.
Mm-hmm.
At least I think you can. You used to be able to.
Yes, my thought is that then your like EQ combo, even though it's not movement and it's not hard CC, becomes a, well, I have a dash that's hard CC every 3 seconds, and like that's problematic to play against.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Like if Shen Yi was a 3 second cooldown, you best believe he'd be getting picked or banned every game.
I do think it's like it is way harder to use like Jarvan EQ properly, at least mm-hmm. after like after early game. But I think that's the like that's the biggest issue, right? You just hit level 2 and then you have the best ganking combo in the game, plus you put out immense amount of damage.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Are you talking about Poppy right now?
Next is Kassadin, who we mentioned a couple weeks ago got these changes by accident, like on 13.15. Mm-hmm. And they're just saying that, hey, we're cool with them. I think it's so funny.
It's also really weird that it's just still posed as a buff and that it's not like, hey, this is only a tooltip change, right?
Like, I mean, it was like a change that happened on that patch.
Yeah. But yeah, I know it happened previously, and I'm okay with that. It's just like, it is really weird to see that it doesn't look like it's being, like, it doesn't look like from this, it looks like a buff is happening when the buff has already happened.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's no way in there says it's just a documentation change. Like, it just looks like it has another, like, he has another buff in addition to the undocumented one.
Which either really it's a weird. Crazy change, though. I think Ludens Kassadin is super underrated. People get mad at you for building Ludens, but Ludens is insane on the character. Like, he's pretty strong, like, mid-game.
Yeah, if you like, ever build him actually, like, full damage instead of scaling, like, whatever, he does a fucked amount.
Yeah.
His ratios are crazy.
And if you go, like, Electrocute Ignite, which I feel like is pretty common at the moment, like, you just hit 6 and kill them.
I don't think your laning's that bad if you're able to, like, get your W... like damage weaved in early game with the electrocute.
Yeah.
Cool. Next, we've got Kane. The passive healing in his darkened form is being adjusted. The ultimate damage in his darkened form, which that's red form, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is being decreased. So when you go red Kane, your R does less. And your healing, it looks like, is going to do more healing early, less healing late.
Cool. Cool. Kennen, E energy cost is decreased. The ultimate cooldown now decreases with rank.
That's interesting. Oh, I wonder, fuck yeah. Like, so, like, this might actually, like, matter, because Kennen is...
This matters.
You look, like, so, whenever you look at alt cooldowns, we mention this a lot, is you look on, like, do you use them on cooldown? And Kennen is one of the ones that you do try to, like, use on cooldown, so it probably matters a fair bit, but we'll see.
Yeah, this matters, and it's also, like, the 20 energy buff to E is really nice if you're not putting points into it, like... If you're not constantly like landing stuns and actually able to E through champions, you can run out of energy pretty quick on Kennen. I think that this is going to be like not Kennen's not
going to be
crazy OP, but this is going to be definitely like playable and feel a lot less shitty when you like have to burn ultimate to win a 1v1. And then you're like, well, I guess we just lose the dragon fight 80 seconds from now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Like that feels so bad as a Kennen player. Where you're like, okay, I'm top lane. We're just like trading waves. Okay. They're reenacting all in me. I can either press R, kill him, but we lose the dragon in 80 seconds, or I can let him kill me. He's going to take my tower, but then we'll win that dragon fight later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is going to be good, and I'm excited to play some Kennen.
Oh yeah,
Rael is getting some E bonus movement speed reduced.
Oh, whoa, cool. Senna, passive crit strike ratio reduction is removed. W now applies passive to all enemies caught in the AoE. I don't think the W change matters like a ton, but the crit damage is like pretty good because I am definitely a proponent of crit Senna over Eclipse. Please don't build Eclipse Senna.
I hate Eclipse, man.
I think it's just so bad. Characters. But I feel like every single Senna that I see just autopilots to it.
Misfortunes build it too.
Yeah.
Cool. Next is Thresh. So this is a very controversial change. His W shield strength is getting increased per soul, so it's going up from a shield ratio of 1.5 per soul to 2 per soul. So at 100 Thresh souls, it will do an extra 50 shielding is the change, which isn't a big change. But the point is that he is the most popular. He's like a top 3 picked support in every single ELO bracket. He's like 49.9% win rate in most ELO brackets. Like goes down a little bit, like lower ELO goes up a little higher at higher ELOs. So people are complaining this very much feels like a change just for the like, hey, pro players, pick this. Which I don't know. I don't think it's a bad thing when like cool characters are picked. But like in theory, based on balance philosophy, Thresh is not a character that would get a buff. And this is like tiny. This will not affect his win rate at all. It's very much a like remember Thresh like type change, but it is interesting because like it is obvious that Riot does try to do stuff like this, which I don't think is bad for the game.
No, I don't think so either. I guess it depends on the circumstances, but I don't think like I think if Zeri got like a buff to remind pro players that she exists, I think people would be like rioting almost or Yuumi. But I don't think we've seen like too much Thresh, at least in pro play, for it to like matter that much. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Cool.
Up next, we've got Tryndamere. Health growth is being decreased by 7 per level. Base AD is being decreased by 2. Basically what they're saying in the little blurb is that the attack range buff was maybe a little bit too much. And once he gets into range, he just stat checks you. Hopefully we're going to bring him more in line and make him feel a little bit less oppressive and more skill expressive.
How do you guys feel about something that Riot does a lot where they buff one aspect of a champion's kit and then they nerf other parts of it in subsequent patches when the buffs go a little bit too far? So here, like Tryndamere received the range buff that, you know, we talked about last patch, and now they're nerfing base stats to compensate for the strength that he got from the previous buff.
I think it has to make sense, right? Like, I think this is probably the best version they've ever done. As much as people hate Tryndamere, remove Tryndamere from this conversation because, like, people are biased against the character.
Yeah.
I think this is, like, a good one where it's, like, I think all Tryndamere's can understand the value of getting the increased attack range, and losing out on base stats, or even if they nerfed his like QE whatever cooldown to compensate, I think it's like one of those things where like the feel of the character and how he's meant to be played makes sense. Compare that to like the Vigar ones, which I think are the most egregious ones they've ever done. Sorry about my son.
No, it's all good.
But like Vigar's is probably the most egregious, where they gave him 100 range on his Q and then spent the next four patches. Chester, oh my God. And then spent the next four patches like nerfing his Q damage, his R damage, his E cooldown, his W. Like, and it's like, fuck, at that point, it's like, it just feels like at that point you're just ruining the character, I guess. Like, I don't know. It feels like it's like you have to be very smart about the way you do it. Base changes will never like upset people too much. But like if they came for like Tryndamere's ult, for example, because they gave him attack range, I think some Tryndamere's would maybe have issue with it.
Yeah, it's just, I feel like it's really interesting because I think a lot of companies would just like, hey, we went too far with this change. We're either going to like nerf it entirely or revert it entirely or like bring it back a tiny bit. But I feel like Riot is one of the few companies that will start to look at other things and not address the changes that they made in the first place. So I don't know. And like you were saying, it definitely depends on the changes in both directions. But I do feel like this one's fine. I think adding 50 range isn't like, I still don't think it's that big of a deal for a character like this.
Yeah. I think you're correct in pointing out that I feel like Riot more often will do this kind of thing where they buff A and then characters overpower and they're like, well, let's nerf C and D to bring them back in line. But I do think from like a design philosophy, it makes a lot of sense to do that because it's like we identified a certain problem or a certain area we want to change. And when we change that, it might have some unintended consequences, but like that was still the thing we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We're like, let's say like it jump way back to like when Lissandra's passive was every 10 seconds, you get a free ability and they decided to scrap that. It's like, okay, just if they just change that and then she's like OP now. And then it's like, okay, well, do we want to maybe nerf her AP ratios or her cooldowns? Or do we want to go back to her having that stupid passive?
Yeah.
No, we don't want to go back to that. Like, we fixed the thing that was bad. It's just now we need to balance the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes that's the case. Other times it's like, okay, yeah, maybe the thing you changed didn't need to get changed. And that's just always a difficult equation to try and balance is like, do we just need to revert this?
I was just curious how you guys felt because I feel like a lot of people I imagine get pretty upset when they see other changes. When they see buffs and then something else is nerfed.
I also think the trend change is an interesting one because I don't think they could just go back and give him 25 range instead of 50. I feel like that would also be like, I think that's so weird, right? Like one patch your character has 125 range, the next patch he has 175 range, and the patch after he has 150 range. Like that feels like it's so wishy-washy, right? Like at that point, yeah, you have to either like full commit to like 125 or 175. I don't think you should just like split it there.
I also feel like if they did that, There's going to be a Tryndamere player who didn't play on any of those patches and never understands that there was a change at all.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He's like, wait, they changed my character twice? I can't tell. Up next, Xayah. Her base health is being decreased, but her health growth is going up to compensate. It looks like at level 6, it'll even out, and then she'll have more health in the late game. Her E cooldown is starting at a higher cooldown, but scaling down to the same 9 seconds at max rank.
Cool.
So just a little bit weaker early laning phase for Xayah.
Can we talk about Crown?
Let's do it.
Super interesting. So Crown was the least purchased mythic in the game, I think. It was also shit. It's just bad. Like, I even think the characters who built it were pretty bad building it. I think, like, the best builders were, like, AP Twitch.
who doesn't have a great mythic otherwise, so...
Yeah, he doesn't have a great mythic, and he wants to come out of stealth and do damage really, really quick, right? So like,
he wants to be able to stand there for 1.5 seconds, not caring if he's face tanking Rumble ult and Darius R. Like he can do that with Crown.
But it was pretty well only built on Azir, which I also think was just a bad mythic for him a lot of the time, based on like playstyle and stuff. But anyways, they're changing it. So it's getting 15 extra AP. The safeguard, the 75% damage reduction for 1.5 seconds is being changed to 40% for 2.5. And it no longer provides the 10 to 40 AP based on your level while the shield is up. So it's not like it's 110 AP item at like late game where like when it's not proc'd anymore. So it's just an 85 AP item, which is, it's decent. But it's really like, it completely changes how this item is built. Like no character who even thought about building it before will build it now. This feels like it's like more like a mage bruiser dive item. Like I could see a, like, once again, I don't know if this is a little makes sense, but like I could see a Diana building this because she jumps in and then just hits shit for 2.5 seconds where she's, we're just 40% damage reduction while she's like in there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where like even now I see a lot of jungle Dianas still go like Jack Show. Like they go like Nashers into Jack Show because Diana just has so much base damage already. I could definitely see Crown working for divers like that.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I feel like it, in theory, is a really, really good item if you like are building it at appropriate times. But it did just seem kind of like the default for a lot of characters just to like use it improperly. And I don't really know if this changes that.
I mean, but, I still think it's bad. Like, I think it's
I don't think it's a great item. But if you're like, I don't know, playing against like a Zed or a Talon or you know, someone with a lot of like upfront burst as a mage, I think it's fine, or it was fine.
It's worse than it was before, though. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think the change, like that is, it's worse now. Like you're saying, and I don't think this changes who wants to buy it and what they would buy it for. It just makes it worse for those characters.
It did at least have the thing, like when you'd have someone build it, you'd be like, if you hit them while like it was breaking, like the 1.5 seconds, you actually could not kill them. Like 75% is a lot. Whereas like now, like I think there's characters that could burst through 40%.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. With lethality and assuming you don't build a second like pseudo defensive item on a squishy mage. So you have just base armor plus the 40% damage reduction. Yeah, absolutely. I could see, you know, damage being...
I definitely like this passive more than the old one, though, because, like, 1.5 seconds is pretty short, and it's on a really long cooldown if they have, like, any level of poke. But, like, even, like, thinking through examples of, like, Akali, like, if she lands the E on you, she can just wait, like, 1.2 seconds, reactivate it, it takes her a little time to fly through the air to you. Oh, now she's doing full damage, like...
Yeah, so I guess, like,
It didn't stop her from all in comboing you at all.
So the argument there would be don't build it against Akali, right? That's not one of the characters that you would build it against.
Yeah, but I think that is part of why the item is like bad, is because like any of the characters you would probably want to build it against can do stuff like that. Like, and I think that that's just part of why like Crown is a bad item. Mm-hmm. Is because like, oh yeah, I'll buy this so I don't get assassinated. But like, look at like popular assassins, right? Like you got Talon and Zed who can easily break it with a W or a Q. You know, you've got Akali who can again pretty easily get in range to throw a Q at you and then come back because it's like a 40-second cooldown. I think to me, I would much rather see this item be less effective but on a much lower cooldown.
It's funny because it was very much designed as like an old artillery mage item. Like you sit in the back, you get the bonus AP, and while it's active, like you do a shitload of damage, and you get this damage reduction if you get picked or whatever, right? And now it feels like, I mean, the reality is like just how League of Legends is played. Both the past iteration and the new iteration feel like it's designed as a sit back item, but it plays as a go in item, which is weird.
I almost think that like the assassins, going back to what you were saying, Colton, the assassins having like the ability to wait it out is good. The item is designed as, you know, an upfront anti-burst item. If I think in another world where, hey, I want to build an item versus Akali or Zed or Talon where like Crown is an active and when you press it, you get the damage reduction for 1.5 seconds, as opposed to it just being like a Banshees like effect essentially. Mm-hmm. And I think that like that is much better for control mages, but I think it's so much less healthy. Whereas like it kind of the same way for Banshees. Like I think having that just block a spell up front, you have to be aware of like the damage that you're taking, the spells that you like can get hit by and can't get hit by, as opposed to like Sivir spell shield, where you can save it for an impactful ability, and it does come at such a large like power cost in her kit. I feel like the design of the item is really good. It's just like the other mage items are so much better that it kind of gets overshadowed.
It is funny that I'm trying to figure out how I'd make this item good. And my idea was it needs to have lower cooldown, right? Like the 40 seconds of not taking damage is so long.
It is.
It would be so bad. It would be so bad for the game if, let's just say it was 25 second cooldown. Imagine every single fucking wave, the enemy mid laner comes with this 40% damage reduction thing. Dude, it would be miserable. It has to be more than a wave of cooldown.
We have that, and it's Malzahar, and it's one of the most frustrating aspects of playing against Malzahar is that he's one of the longest, safest wave clear champs in the game, and then if you finally get on him, you have to do it twice because he has the spell shield and damage reduction tied into it. So I do think it is a bad item, but I think it's a good design, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it probably needs to I don't know why they got rid of the AP break thing. Maybe they thought it'd be too strong without it, but I feel like it could have kept it.
Yeah. Anyway, Spear of Shojin losing 5 attack damage. Woo!
Absolutely gutted, unviable. Can't do it. Static Shiv, attack damage is going up 5 to 50, and the actual shock damage from the passive is going from 250 to 350 scaling down to a flat 200.
So I think it's fine. As long as it doesn't change breakpoints, I think this is fine, by the way. There's lots of discussion about it, but the reality is, I mean, Nick might get into this. It's so fucking weird that it's a niche wave clear item, but it's also just the best in slot fucking efficiency, AD carry item. I said this when they fucking redid the AD carry items, and everyone's there's a fair bit of AD attack speed items. There's not enough AD attack speed items. That's the issue. You have Navori and you have this, and then you have Bork, which Bork is a fucking supposed to be a specialized tank buster item. So you really have two fucking items that are AD attack speed, which that's what you want. As your first item, you don't want to just build only attack speed, bloodthirst, mm-hmm. or only attack speed, right? You want some sort of mix, and guess what? If there's only a couple options, you're just going to pick the best one, which right now is Static Shiv.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Kraken and Phantom Dancer also give AD and attack speed and crit, but they give, I think,
Phantom gives zero.
25. I think Phantom gives, 25, and I think Kraken gives 35? 30?
Yeah. They're lower for sure.
It's just weird.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say I buy this item every single game, first on Akshon. I don't think it's optimal. I actually think it's pretty bad if you're looking to duel. But I just think it doesn't cost me enough, opportunity wise, to buy an item that allows me to full clear a wave with Q auto attack. And maybe, two more autos on the melees in front. And then I'm just unlocked for, 30 seconds while the other mid laner is trying to match my wave clear.
Nick, imagine this item. It's the exact same gold effectiveness or whatever. Let's just say it's 110% gold effective right now with its 80 stat. But imagine it has 0 AD. And it just has a shitload of attack speed, maybe some movement speed or something to balance out a little bit so it's not just 700% attack speed. This item's bad, right?
It's too good.
Yeah, I think that's what they should have gone. They don't have enough AD attack speed items, I've said a million times, but I think they should have introduced another AD attack speed item and then just gutted the attack damage off this item. They wouldn't have had to nerf anything else on this fucking item. This item's passive didn't need to get nerfed 8 times in a row if it just didn't give 50 attack damage.
Yeah, it's just such a crazy, I don't know. It's such a crazy amount. I actually don't think it can exist in League of Legends. It's in its current state, at least.
Yeah. So this is another thing that Aiden and I talked about a little bit the other night while we were playing. But my biggest issue with this, how it currently is that it should be a specialized item that is used for a particular niche, right? Where it's, I'm playing a character with no innate wave clear. I want to sacrifice DPS to get access to wave clear. Should be the equation.
Yeah.
But you don't do that. There is no trade-off. You get so much attack speed, so much attack damage, and the Shiv proc does a decent amount of damage to champions too. You don't sacrifice any DPS to get this, and you get wave clear, and you get roaming potential. Like, you get all of these things, and I think that that's a huge issue right now with itemization, is there's a lot of items that just give you everything you could want, and then there's just no specialized. Like, the only, I think, specialized item in the game that's, like, properly that is probably Frozen Heart right now, where there's, like, very rare instances where all you want is ability haste and armor and like, the attack speed slow, but, like, that's not super common.
I actually am going to, like, push back a little bit. I think every single Mage Mythic is an example of that, right? Where, like, let's talk about Crown of the Shattered Queen. You're sacrificing damage to be able to survive that upfront combo, which I think is a great, like, very, yeah, very well designed, you know, choice.
I'll give you the Mage Mythics.
Like, you can survive this, but you're going to have a lot less damage than someone who survives it and has Ludens, right? Or and has Liandry's. But then you look at, like, AD carry items, I guess not even Mythics, because you don't typically go, like, Mythic first on, I think, on most, like, current meta AD carries. Yeah. But you're giving up what? Like, when you buy Static Shiv, what are you giving up first? Like, Bork, if you're into tanky characters, Kraken, maybe, again, if you're hitting the same character, like, over and over again. But then, like, that's not a real trade-off, because Shiv doesn't do that, like, that much less damage to champions, and you have way higher wave clear. Like, it's just, yeah, like you were saying, there's not enough, like, opportunity cost for building items outside of Mage Mythics and certain niche items otherwise.
Yeah, and I think there's one other item, and I'm going to keep complaining about it until something changes, that is, like, I think another instance where an item that should be specialized isn't at all, and that's Ravenous Hydra.
Where, oh, yeah, for sure.
Right, like, this is an item there that, at the surface, again, this is the item I buy because I don't have wave clear and I need wave clear. Mm-hmm. Except, let's take a look at the stats. If it's fully stacked, 85 attack damage, 25 ability haste, 10%, like, that's, I think this is the old version.
Yeah, this is the old one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even then, it's like, it's 30 ability haste, like 80 AD. You get, like, Lifesteal or Omnivamp, I don't know which one it is now, as well as crazy wave clear, right? It's like, okay, do I pick, which option do I pick? I can pick damage, I can pick haste, or I could pick damage, haste, survivability, and wave clear. Oh, wait, why don't I just pick the one that has all four?
Yeah.
Like, it does more damage than if you're just going to build, like, Shirelda's. Why would anyone buy the full damage item when the full damage item that also has way more haste and wave clear and vamp exists?
I almost feel like putting wave clear on an item, like, itself is kind of like, problematic, because I don't think, like, I think that's an important part of, like, draft, you know, if you're playing against, like, a Vayne, for instance, a champion with no wave clear at all. That should be something that she can't, like, shore up. That should be a weakness that she has throughout the game.
Yeah.
And you trade it off by having immense, you know, 1v1 damage and hyper carry potential.
I'm fine with it existing as an item, but it just needs to be weak. And I think a good example of that is, like, Bombies, right? Where, like, I don't think anyone's complaining that your wave clear with Sunfire Cape is too good, because you still kind of need to be able to damage the wave, and you need to sit there inside of it for 10 seconds for that to work.
I think all those, like, Bami characters already have wave clear, right? Like, if you're buying it on, like, Maokai or Sion or Ornn or Set, like, these characters...
Shen, let's say. right?
Where, like, I guess Shen is a good one. Yeah.
Right, where it's like Shen doesn't have Wave Clear, so you can like you can go a Hydra item or you can go a Sunfire Cape, and like it gives you the ability to clear waves very slowly but more efficiently than you could before. But like, I don't know. Yeah, it's like you could either make. You know, you could make Static Shiv deal like 50 damage to minions and it would be like that same level, or you can let it be good at wave clear but just take away the other stats. Like, that's have there be a choice in itemization.
Mm-hmm.
stop giving us the item that does everything better.
What if it chained to like only like the two close by minions but it had like a shorter cooldown?
I could see that. I mean, like, yeah, I could see it bouncing.
So, like, it only hits melees and it only hits,
like, yeah, so, like, the idea would be, like, it's kind of, like, doing what Bombies does, but, like, obviously Bombies is for a tank character, so the tank character walks up and sits in the wave. Static Shiv is for, or there can also be, like, a mini item, like, the Statty Shiv or whatever. It's, like, the component item, where, like, the AD carry, they have to be auto-attacking the wave to, like, actually clear. You don't just auto-attack, then back up, right? You auto-attack the front three times, you auto-attack the back three times. Like,
yeah, you could, I mean, you could do it, like, the old Static Shiv, yeah, where it's just, like, it used to be every fifth auto, I think, but, like, yeah, like, every third auto does a little strike of lightning that hits the two closest things for, like, 60 damage, right? Yeah. Like,
that'd be cool.
And then you don't get the LeBlanc W-ing over the raptor wall, autoing the wave once, and then leaving to go roam some more.
Mm-hmm.
It is cool that if you think about items like designed for their specific classes, you can come up with cool ideas. Like, imagine, so we're coming up with ideas for wave clear items for tanks, right? We have Bombies. Wave clear items for AD carry. We have Statty Shiv now. And then for, like, okay, we need a wave clear item for mages that maybe don't have wave clear. What if you made a mage wave clear item that when you buy it, it makes your abilities do small little AoEs around them? Like, you know, it's just like, it's cool the stuff you can come up with when you can find what you want to do, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it would be really interesting to be playing a version of League of Legends where those items exist, and then there's also, like, interesting, unique items for other specific purposes, right? Where it's like, maybe I'm a character who does have really good wave clear, and I want to, like, improve my single target damage. Like, what does that look like? How do you make that item without making it OP on characters who are really good single target dealers already?
Like, yeah, that's the fun part about it. We've talked about it a million times on the show. There just has to be, like, double the amount of items in the game.
Mm-hmm. It would be nice if there were, like, you know, a ton of items. But
It's weird because I think we're in a spot where it's like, I either want double the items that exist or half the items that exist.
I mean, like, we have, like, 70 right now, and, like, 27 of them are mythics, so they can only be built, like, once. It's, like, what a small number of items.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, like, I think itemization wouldn't at least, like, people would still complain about it, but it wouldn't be, I think, as much of a balance issue if it just was purely solved and there weren't other options. Because I think that's part of the issue, too, is, like, people want, like, they think about it, like, yeah, but I want the Kraken passive. But, like, if there's no decision there, and it's, like, okay, there's one attack speed attack damage item and one attack speed AD crit. Those are your two options. Pick one of them.
Yeah.
It is crazy. Like, even just like think of Shojin the last couple days, right? The new Shojin, not new Shojin, just buff Shojin. Like, how much, like, itemization talk there's been just around that, like, in the past couple days. Like, fuck, dude, like, niche items are super cool. Like, that one's overloaded, but, like, the, like, people are building it on, like, Zeri, Ezreal, Kog'Maw, right? Like, because these are characters that obviously all their abilities proc because they don't have, like, CC abilities. It has good stats. It's just fucking cool, like, theory crafting these things where it's like, it's not the best item on these characters every single game, but it's a super viable option fourth, fifth on them. Like, that's super cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's awesome. It's really exciting. But then it gets right. Like it gets nerfed because it's too good.
Yeah, it's obviously like we're obviously simplifying it a little bit, but like it's just cool when like there are items that are just like choices. Like I don't think Shojin is good because it's built every single game on Xin Zhao, Jarvan, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it's good because it's built like fourth, fifth on all these other characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that again, those are those interesting odd choices that I really like to see. I think a really good example of this, like, way back when was, like, 80 carries, building a frozen mallet, like fifth, sixth item, back when it was just like 700 health, 30 AD, and your attack's slow. Like, obviously, it was a problematic item and ended up getting removed. But, right, where it's like, I already deal enough damage. I just need to be able to auto-attack, right? So having more health helps with that, and them not being able to get away from me helps with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of AD carries never did that, and a lot of good AD carries did and were very successful because of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
So that's Static Shiv conversation. Storm Racer also got 5 AD. Hooray.
Cool. Clash is coming up. Lots of champions are getting their ability icon updated. There's arena ranked rewards being distributed on the 18th. New mythic shop stuff.
What do you mean ranked arena? There was no ranked queue.
It was all ranked.
There's no ranked queue.
Curious. And a bunch of skins.
Can we just quickly, like, so first of all, I think these are some of the ugliest skins I've ever made. I think the Mundo one's cool, by the way. But if you hover over the Street Demon Zyra chromas, look at the chromas. Street Zyra. Demon Zyra.
Okay.
It's just the same, all the same image 8 or 9. Yeah. That's like the least different chroma I've ever seen, dude. That's
just a mistake, right?
No, it's they're different.
What?
Well, she's got a different color scarf.
Yeah.
But the outfit doesn't change.
That's a prank, right?
That's so fun. Like, that's literally so wild. Her, like, her shoes, her kneecaps, her, like, actual, like, vest thing.
Her skin color, I mean, her vest, hair color,
her jacket,
horns, yeah.
Her headpiece, her hair.
Literally every
thing
single
that changes
thing.
Is the scarf.
Yeah.
It's so funny, man.
Where's the uproar about that? Freak. I feel like that's worse than the $200 gin chroma.
Yeah, that's so funny,
that's
man.
That's insane. And, like, it's a very easy skin that, like, you could, like, right, like, the
every skin
roll up
is easy
of
too,
the
yeah.
shorts and, like, yeah. the sports bra that she's wearing, like, okay, that's a distinct color. You can change that. The headpiece, very, very easy to change, mm-hmm. right? Like, if you don't want to change the base outfit, change the headpiece, change the shoes, change the scarf. Easy.
That's insane.
Wild.
Wow.
That's, yeah, it's just super funny.
That's somebody who finished the skin and presented it at a meeting, and their boss said, yeah, and this is going to come with 7 chromas. And they said, what? And it's going out next week.
It's going out an hour from now.
Yeah, it's going out real. Tonight. And they said, I guess I'm changing one color.
Oh,
that'll
boy.
Be $10, please.
Cool. So that's 13, 18. Pretty small, but we got a lot of juice off of that one.
Yeah.
So I guess let's move into roundtable, right?
Hell yeah. Last week's question was, if your most played champion was released yesterday, what would people be complaining about? We got lots of responses from our Twitter. We got one from The Pasta, and he says, Leona is just worse Rel. She can engage but not keep everyone together for wombo combo. 3 out of 10, no skill required to play. Dude, I've gone back to the Leona hating train, by the way.
Yeah,
every single time
sucks.
I see that character, like, she I think she's really bad, but I still think she's one of the best characters in the world at doing, like, the drool on your keyboard and it starts to play the game for you tower dives.
Oh yeah, for
time,
sure.
Time I see that character tower dive, man, she takes about 15 and a half tower shots and walks.
And her combo is, like, super easy. You either, like, you just lead with stun, right? You just lead with your with your Q, which is an auto attack stun that you can't miss.
Oh, it's gross. And then from our Discord, we got a couple here. One from Val. They say, Irelia, why does she dash and do so much damage and heal? Busted champion nerf now. That's what I would. That's what I think a typical league player's mindset. Yeah, I mean, I think Irelia would probably get a lot of hate if she's released now.
Yeah, for sure.
Baby Cake said, Urgot, why is he so attractive? It's so distracting to play against. Pards Bay gave my favorite answer. Thresh's Lantern is has very little counterplay, and his anti-fun mechanics just save anyone with a really far range. Not to mention, he's another infinitely stacking champion. Yeah, dude, people lose their mind about Lantern now.
Facts. Lantern's actually good. True.
And then last but not least, Casey Stranger said, for Soraka, well, why won't they release a real monster champion? They just make an anime girl with horn and call it a day. Cool. This week's roundtable question is, if you had to cook and eat one jungle camp, what would you choose? How would you prepare it?
You know it's going to be Gromp. You know Gromp's it's going to be Gromp. And it's just going to be, like, I think a nice, like, you know, little saute in the pan.
Yeah.
Are you cooking it whole, or are you taking a slice out of grump?
I mean, you're probably not going to saute grump whole, I guess. So maybe yeah, just a little slice.
Okay. You just put them in a big like a big. I mean, pot
you could roast grump whole over like a spit.
True. You could also bake them.
Good. Grump is huge, though. Grump's you need a big oven to
how would you guys prepare grump? Is this week's grump table question?
No, I would go with raptors personally, because I think they
it's chicken.
Yeah, they're chicken, and like when I was thinking through it, and it's like my other options are wolves, which I don't eat dogs in my regular everyday life. I don't eat frogs in my everyday life, and I don't eat rocks either. So I'd go with chicken, an ingredient or at least like chicken that's adjacent, boring. Something I can prepare. Well, that's my answer. Fuck you. And I would, I probably would make like a nice little like orange chicken. Maybe I could use red buff to make it spicy.
I'm the biggest chicken simp in the world, and that's boring.
You're boring.
This is a fantasy universe.
Nick, I've seen you at restaurants. You're trying to tell me you would actually, if somebody cooked grump and put it on a plate, you would not taste that. You would say,
no, absolutely not.
Nuggets.
This is a fun roundtable question.
No, okay, my fun answer, Nick.
Also,
I'll make it fun.
Hang on. Also, Colton, you're just as picky as I am. Let's be honest.
Yeah, but I would try grump is the difference.
I would try it.
My answer is the Wraith Camp, the removed Wraith Camp, because I would like to eat a spectral ghoul. I don't know. I don't make the rules, dude. I was like thinking because, like you said, raptors. I'm like, oh, it would be funny if here was wraiths, and I'm like, I can just make that my answer.
You can just make that yours, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll do that. Or even better yet, I could do the ghast camp from the 3v3 map, the one that gave you the move speed buff.
You know, ghast is gonna go right through you.
It's not yummy. Ghast is yucky.
I'm getting it from a good restaurant, though.
So. Is that right? Is that right?
They prepare it properly.
No, you're cooking and eating it, Aiden. You have to do that.
Oh yeah, uh-oh. At my restaurant.
It's gonna be bad. It's not gonna be good. Don't go to Aiden's restaurant. You'll get sick.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, if you want to tell us how you would cook and prepare a League of Legends monster, maybe you can tell us how you'd cook and prepare fucking Vilemaw from the 3v3 map.
Yeah.
Anyways, hit us up on our Discord discord.gg/leaguecast. Go to our Twitter at leaguecast. Just send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com.
What do you think would be the best tasting epic monster?
Epic monster?
So like Baron Dragon or...
Vilemaw?
Not Vilemaw. Vilemaw doesn't count. He's
no,
gone.
Vilemaw counts.
No, they're
it's
gone.
Probably one of the dragons, right? Like
I feel like, yeah, it's a dragon. I feel like Baron would be like an ingredient where it's like super expensive and most people can't like...
Like saffron? Like, Baron's the equivalent of saffron.
No, I think it would be like dangerous. It would be like the... I can't think of the one I'm trying to think of. But
heroin.
No, but like if most people try and cook Baron, it'll just kill you. But there's
the fish.
Yeah, the puffer fish, where it's like there's like 30 chefs who can cook Baron, and it's probably pretty good, but everyone else can't.
So you need like two Michelin stars to cook.
Yeah, you need two Michelin stars to try
before you can even attempt Baron.
Yeah,
I see. Cool. Mail fight. The first one's from Casey Stranger. Hey there, I'm writing a response to last week's discussion about the GBay 99 video where he returned to League after 2 years and the general perception that League used to be better. With minor exceptions, I think that League is the best it's ever been. On a personal note, I'd like to highlight two changes without which I definitely would not be playing League today. First, champ select. I first left League in early season 5, and dear God did I hate the pregame dick measuring contest to see who got to play mid. I would always just try to filler on my team, but it led to me lacking focus in my champ pool, and it just wasn't satisfying. I don't think there's a champ select method without drawbacks, but God is the current system way better. Second, post-game lobby mute. Unfortunately, I'm one of those people who really gets affected by my teammates' negativity. I always muted in-game chat, but it's hard to avert my eyes from the post-game rage. Now I don't even see it, and man, is League more enjoyable. I think that most of League's problems are, compared to the old days, are the ones that affect almost all games as they get older. The game gets bigger and more complicated, the remaining player base gets more hardcore, and things can get pretty unfriendly for new or lightly invested players. I think the other biggest problem is that people kind of get addicted to the game and keep playing it even when they don't enjoy it anymore. To those people, well, the easy answer is to play a different game, though I know it's not always that simple. Anyways, just wanted to say that in my opinion, you're absolutely right, and this game is actually poggers. To the folks who hate it, that's totally fair. Maybe it's just time to move on. Casey Stranger. Yeah, I think that's a good point. That was one of the things that I know he highlighted in his video, is that there's a lot of like positive changes that I think we have taken for granted, because we do get to, you know, play with them every day. Like Champ Select, you know, being being one of them.
Yeah. There's also a bunch of changes that we complain about today, but if you told us 2 years ago, we'd be so hyped for. Like, Nick, get in your time machine real quick. Go back 2 years ago and find your old self.
I'm there.
And tell him Static Shiv is back.
I wasn't, like, necessarily excited for Static Shiv.
Okay, but... find 2 years ago half the other player base who would have been so hyped.
Yeah. No, there were a ton of, crying. Like, there were a ton of people super, super excited for Static Shiv, and good for them.
Yeah.
If cool. I had a time machine, stranger. Nick, I'd go back and see your past self, and I'd compliment him. I'd be like, hey, man.
No, you wouldn't.
You're a good-looking guy.
I mean, you wouldn't, but thank you
for saying
that.
I would go back
that.
And say you're I, way that's all more I would handsome
do. You wouldn't. You wouldn't. You wouldn't. We're going like, to end the recording. As soon as we end the recording, you can tell me what you're really going to go back in time and do.
No, I'd literally show up and be like, hey, man.
Okay.
Nice shorts.
No, you wouldn't.
I would say you're way but more you would, handsome would you than say it in a way, Nick.
Would you say it in a way that's like, nice shorts, you know?
No, you'd probably look at me and you'd be like, oh, that's like kind of fucked up that you're making fun of my shorts. I'd be like, no, like honestly, like your shorts are really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd teleport out of there.
Go back.
And that's your one.
That's my one time.
Okay. And I'm thinking
also,
about the
also
like,
buy a house when interest rates are at 3%. Bye.
I'm thinking about the meme, like, girls go back in time just to say, like, oh, wow, you're my grandma. Nice to meet you. And then it's just Aiden complimenting my shorts and then going back to modern day. Likely story, bud.
Likely. Hey, we got one more email to get through from Fishbones. Hey, y'all, longtime listener, infrequent emailer. Just got a new personal best since season 8. Been hard stuck plat 2 for ages and was finally able to hit emerald 1, the new equivalent of plat 1, and I'm excited for my first push to diamond. I'm a Jinx main but switched recently to Rakan and have been sailing on a 65% win rate over 90 games. You have so much agency, it's amazing. Wondering about y'all's thoughts on this new ranked distribution and specifically the maybe intended effect that it has given countless people who don't read rank distribution patch notes. The effect that is given to a lot of people who don't read them and feel a false sense of improvement. Thank you, Fishbones. That's the email. So
thanks, Fishbones.
Congratulations. 65% is nutty. If you can keep even like 55%, you will sail to diamond.
Mm-hmm.
So keep it up. If it's working, it's working. In terms of the giving people who don't read rank distribution a false sense of improvement, it's kind of a two-edged thing where, like, I'm happy that players feel like they're progressing. That's fine. I have no issue with it. But a lot of people now are flaming because of it, where it's like they've been plat for 5 years, like plat one hard stuck, now they're emerald one, and they shit talk people who are like who were gold and are now like emerald one and who actually made like a significant jump. In those situations it irritates me, but like generally, yeah, I'm fine if people are happier with their rank, even if it like if their ladder rank didn't change.
One of the things that like I you can go ahead, Aiden, I'll come back.
Oh, I was just going to quickly say, I was just going to second like what Colton says. I mentioned this a couple times on the show. I'm just worried when it stops giving them the LP train, like when the gravy stops, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, that's what we talk about a lot with, especially like with one tricks or streamers or whatever. When you're winning, it's very easy to be positive about the game, or not even winning. Let's just say in this scenario, going up ELO, right? Because the system has allotted you that because they've introduced a new tier. When that stops happening, I think people become negative about the game very quickly, and that's the worrying part to me. Whether that happens like in a week from now, in a month from now, next split, whatever, when people no longer are climbing, let's just say they improved a little bit, sure, that's awesome, but they didn't get the extra rank tier, I hope that doesn't break them, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair. I also like, I understand the sentiment behind it, but I really don't like the phrasing behind blank is the new blank, right? Like, what did they say?
Orange is the new black.
Yeah, exactly. I hate that show. but like, finally was able to hit emerald one, the equivalent of plat one. Like, I understand the comparison just in terms of like rank distribution, but I feel like that's a really like unhealthy mindset to be in almost, because it feels like a step back, I think, for a lot of people. Like, I don't necessarily think the way that this person is saying it is problematic. They seem like pretty proud of it, but I've seen like specifically in our Discord, like someone will hit a certain rank, like, oh, I made it to plat four, and then they will like immediately cut down their own achievement by saying like, oh, but it's just like, it's just gold four, like
it's,
previously
it's a new plat four. Yeah,
it's just, yeah, it's just,
I hit,
you know, it's
I
just
plat
old
for the first
yeah.
time, but it's not actually plat anymore,
which is like, it just feels shitty, you know.
Yeah,
exactly. I want to be the one to be shitting on their achievement.
Yes.
yeah, I think, like you were saying, Fishbones in this email has a much better viewpoint, where I think really what I'm seeing here is like, my goal is diamond, and so one division under diamond is what his goal was before, and that's where he is now, and so that's why he's happy, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, he's one step closer, and that's, I think, a much better mindset, where it's like, yeah, my goal is diamond. I've been two divisions out before. Now I'm one division out. Yay for me. Like, but again, yeah, it's wild to see people be like, oh, I hit emerald, or like, yeah, like, let's say I hit platinum for the first time, but you know, now it's easier to get platinum, so it's basically just gold too. So I actually haven't improved and won't be able to be happy about my performance until I hit emerald.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Thank you, Fishbones, and thank you to everyone for listening. If you want to send us an email, you can send it to mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/kingnardoutbluebasket and leaguecastfrost. On Twitter, or X now, I think, we're leaguecast. On Facebook, we're leaguecast. Visit our website, leaguecastpodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/leaguecast, and support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leaguecast. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.